It'll be useful for you this morning to have God's Word open at Psalm 25. On the 11th of May, 1685, Margaret Wilson, who was 18 years old, and Margaret McLaughlin, an older woman, were drowned in the Solway Firth at Wigton. They were drowned because they were taking their stand for King Jesus. The soldiers tied them to wooden stakes in the water. The younger Margaret was tied nearer the shore so that she could see the older woman drowning first, and perhaps they assumed she might recant and give honour to the king in the place of Christ. But as the older woman was drowning, Margaret Wilson responded to the soldiers, "I see Christ wrestling there." Just as she herself was about to drown, she was singing from Psalm 25. "Show me thy ways, O Lord." That the experience of the Covenanters, and in particular of these two Margarets on that day, the experience of Christ's people throughout history, and as we see this morning, the experience of David, it's one of struggle. It's one of confrontation. Life is one of difficulty and hardships. But just as young Margaret Wilson sang, and just as David sang, and just as Christ's people have sung through the centuries, Psalm 25 brings us great comfort. The covenant God is on the throne. The covenant God hears the cries of his people. The covenant God is there to show not just loving kindness and forgiveness, but to lead us and direct us. Psalm 25 is also an acrostic poem. That means that each verse begins with the next letter of the alphabet. So verse 1 begins with the Hebrew letter A. And if you want to know what that is, Isaac, after his year of Hebrew, I'm sure will be able to tell you. Verse 2 then is the next letter, and so on down through the alphabet, apart from two verses in Psalm 25. Verse 11 is out of order, and verse 22 is out of order. These two letters don't follow in the pattern. Now, there's different reasons for that. One possibility is that these letters spell out the word teach. So the first letter, the middle letter, and the last letter spell the word teach in Hebrew. Whatever the reason, this is a psalm to teach us. To teach us who we are to look to when things are difficult. Where we are to turn when confrontation sets in. And I know that many of you will have struggles. Distressing situations you have to deal with. Challenges in life. Confrontations from unbelievers. Here is a psalm to teach us. Here is a song sung by David, sung by Christ, and sung by Christ's people through the centuries, including Margaret Wilson, out there in the Solway Firth. Well, let's turn our attention then to Psalm 25 to find our comfort and strength when things are difficult. And the first thing I want us to notice from the psalm is the circumstances of pain. The circumstances of pain. David, who wrote this psalm, didn't have things easy. Yes, he was a king. And in fact, Psalm 25 could have been written after the ark had been brought back to Jerusalem. It's a time of rejoicing. David was a king who was successful on the military front. David was a king whose borders had extended. He defeated different enemies. David was a king who had great wealth. But that didn't stop there being difficulties in life. He had enemies. And he had weaknesses. David had misgivings and doubts. And all of these come out in this psalm. There are four areas of painful circumstances that I want us to note in Psalm 25. Firstly, David experienced fear. Look at verse 2. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. There's an outside influence of enemies who want David to fail. There are people who want David to be put to shame. There are people who want to run David into the ground. They want to hurt him and bring him down. Look at verse 3. We get something of the character of these enemies. They transgress without cause. Another way to put that would be they sin without any reason. They want to do me harm just because. That's what David is saying here. They're seeking to do me in. They're seeking to harm me. They want to make me look foolish in front of other people. And look at the extent to which these enemies will go. Verse 15. They lay traps for David. There are these nets that he can stumble and fall into. Now, these aren't physical nets. But these are perhaps questions or statements. Let's see how David responds to this. Let's create a scenario for David and see where he goes down. Let's make David make mistakes. Let's see him fall. Let's see him trip up over his own feet. These enemies are vicious. Verse 19. Consider mine enemies, for they are many. And how do they hate David? Look at verse 19. They hate me with a cruel hatred. Hatred upon hatred. For David, the enemy is out there. They are conniving. They are planning and plotting. They want to destroy him. They want to see David's name and character dragged through the mud. That's the enemy that's out there. Unfaithful without reason. Their only desire in life is to see the misery of David. David experienced fear from the outside. But David also experienced loneliness. Here's another circumstance of pain within David's life. Verse 16. I am lonely and afflicted. So not only are there outside influences that are pressing in, but David within his own heart feels isolated and deserted and desolate. He was a man who was surrounded by his soldiers. David had his friends. He had his wives. David had his advisors around him. But even then, he could feel like an isolated, lonely, desolate man. The outside troubles have left him feeling lonely. Look at verse 17, at how it's described for us. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Perhaps you know what it's like when there's some influences coming into your life, some distress or struggle, and your heart is breaking, and it feels as though your heart is just growing with pain, and the weight of that pressure is weighing down, and it's all you can think about. You can't sleep. You're struggling. You're weary. This enlarged painful heart. The picture is of David as someone who is weak and tired. Where is there for me to turn? Loneliness. We've been created for companionship and fellowship. And so surely this loneliness is one of great pain. There's the outside pressure of these enemies. There's the loneliness in his heart. Another area of painful circumstances is guilt. The pain that David is experiencing, it isn't just because he's being unfairly treated. It isn't just because his heart is breaking and he feels lonely and isolated. But David says it's also because I've looked at my own heart and I know that I'm a sinner. Look at verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. Verse 11. Pardon my guilt. How great is his guilt? A little bit of guilt? A medium amount of guilt? That's not what David says, for it is great. Verse 18. Forgive how many of my sins? All my sins. Part of the reason for David's painful circumstances is because he recognizes himself as a guilty sinner before God. He is aware that he has broken God's commands. He's aware that before God, he bears the weight of guilt. The sins of David's youth, going back to verse 7, these aren't necessarily the sins that David committed when he was a younger man. But youthful sins are those sins of foolishness, stupidity, rebellion against God. I don't want to do it that way. I'll do it my own. You know what children can be like. And teenagers. Oh, you have your views. I'll do it this way. That they're these youthful sins. But there are sins before God. Those foolish sins. I think I know best. I will do it this way. Forgive. Forgive my foolish, youthful sins. Now, not all of our painful circumstances exist because of specific sins that we've committed. But surely, like David, we're to examine ourselves. Surely we're to see, is this happening because of something that I have done? Is this circumstance or difficulty or struggle here, is it there because of a specific sin in my life? Not all our circumstances are because of specific sins, but sometimes they are. David experiences guilt. The fourth area of painful circumstances is confusion. David needs leading, guiding, and teaching. Look at verse 4, this prayer. Show me thy ways. Teach me thy paths. Verse 5, lead me in thy truth. Lord, I need to be pointed in the right direction. I need to be told what to do in this situation. I need a path to follow. I need to know what is going to be the right thing to do in this time. And part of David's painful circumstances is he's not sure which way to go. I need guidance. Lord, I'm struggling over this. I'm wrestling with this. I'm not sure what I should do. The need for guidance. It can be a real struggle. It can cause us to stumble. It can cause us to be paralyzed in our Christian faith. Sometimes if we're not sure which way to choose, we end up doing nothing. We just stop. I'm not sure which of these two options I should choose, O Lord. I don't know the way to go. And so we just stop in our paths. That's not what God calls us to do as he calls us to walk with Christ. And it's an experience that David has. This need for guidance. This need for leading. These four areas of pain or distress, they're areas that we will face to some degree or other. The confrontation from outsiders. That continual sneering remarks to us. The being excluded from certain things because they know we're a Christian and they just want to see us make a mess of it. They want to see our name dragged through the mud. The feeling of loneliness, being isolated, even when we're surrounded by others. An awful feeling, a distressing feeling, overwhelming our hearts. Guilt, unrepented, unconfessed sin. And guilt eats away at us. We know we have rebelled against God. That weight of guilt on our shoulders. The need for guidance. Feeling lost and confused. What does God want me to do? What is the right way to go in this circumstance? What should I do? They're the experiences of David. They are the experiences that we can go through and do go through. But ultimately, these are also the experiences of Jesus Christ. Read from Hebrews chapter 2. He became flesh like us. He knows our weaknesses. Tempted in every way that we are. And friends, we must always remember that Jesus Christ sang these songs. And he could sing them like no one else. He was attacked by his enemies. They sought to shame him. They sought to run his name through the mud. They wanted to see him stumble and fall and fail. They attacked Christ, as David says, without just cause. Jesus also knew loneliness. He knew isolation like nobody else. He knew isolation in many ways as he walked with his disciples, times when he would have to go off by himself. They didn't understand at that time the path that he was going. Even was surrounded by people. But surely the ultimate isolation was there on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? You know isolation. You might know loneliness. So did Christ. So did your Savior. Your Lord. He knows your experiences. David sings of guilt. Christ knew guilt. Not his own sin, because he was without sin. But he is the one who bore the weight of guilt on his shoulders. In the Garden of Gethsemane, that weight upon his shoulders was so great that he sweated drops of blood. He knew the weight of guilt. Because he was bearing guilt and sin on his shoulders on the cross. And Christ Jesus also needed guidance. Even the Son of God. Lord, if it be your will, take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but yours be done. Lead me. Guide me. Show me. Painful circumstances. And yet Psalm 25, as David under the inspiration of the Spirit writes it, we have a Savior who's experienced what we have experienced. He knows the struggles that you're facing. Painful circumstances. But then secondly, we also have here a commitment to prayer. A commitment to prayer. David could easily just have given in. Outside pressures, mental torment, guilt confusion. It would be easy just to walk away from it all. But David doesn't do that. David's response is to get down on his knees before God and pray. And that's why Psalm 25 is a real encouragement to us. Here is a call to prayer. Bring all of these matters before God. In fact, in Psalm 25, there are 18 prayer requests. You can count them this afternoon when you're at home. Go through the Psalm 18 times that David makes a request to God. We'll look at some of them very quickly. Verse 1, David lifts up his soul to the covenant God. God of promise, the Lord. David prays about every situation. Doesn't leave anything out. Look at verse 20. He prays concerning the experience of outside pressures. O guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I trust in you. Lord, save me from my foe. Lord, silence them when they speak. Protect me, keep me safe. When the outside pressures are coming in, we're to get on our knees before God and cry out to him, keep my soul. Deliver me. Lift my feet up out of the nets that they plan and prepare for me. The experience of isolation and loneliness. Verse 16. Turn to me and have mercy. Verse 17. Bring me out of my distresses. If you're going through times of isolation and loneliness, know that Christ knows your experience. But also know that we can cry out to God. Deliver me. Help me through my distress. Lord, my heart is so enlarged. My heart is breaking. Father, draw close and show me your covenant love, your mercy. The feelings of guilt. Again, David prays concerning these matters. Verse 7, 11 and 18. These are all prayers for mercy and forgiveness. David asks for pardon. He asks that God would forget his sins, that God would remove these sins from the account that he has before God. David leaves no stone unturned. Every sin that he knows he's committed, and the sins that he doesn't know he's committed, he brings them before God. Lord, forgive me. Forgive all my sins. We are to keep a short account before God, bringing to him those things that we've done wrong, laying them before the throne of grace, and praying that through Jesus Christ, God will show us mercy. Father, forgive me. Perhaps this morning you haven't yet come before God in this way. Perhaps this morning as you're sitting here listening, you know that you haven't asked God for forgiveness. Here is what you must do. Because if we have not received forgiveness from the Father, then we are in the position of these enemies, the ones outside of Christ. And our position is one of great danger outside of Christ. It's one of eternal danger, where God will bring shame upon his enemies. That is punishment. Eternal punishment in hell forever. And so David looks to God and he says, forgive me. Show me mercy. Lord, may your covenant love come upon me. And David prays for guidance. Make known to me your paths. Teach me your paths. Show me the way that I should go. What I want you to notice is that David prays in every situation and circumstance. Are you someone who, like David, who, like God's people through the centuries, including Mary Wilson there in the Solway Firth, and who, even like your Saviour, ultimately like your Saviour, brings every circumstance before God in prayer? Life isn't easy. There are painful circumstances. But here is an encouragement to us to come before God in prayer. I very rarely quote modern hymns or hymns of any sort, but you'll forgive me this morning for quoting one, because the words that have been penned are useful words to us as we think about this. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Friends, everything. That's what David is saying to us. That's what God is saying to us from Psalm 25. Everything. Bring it in prayer. How often we don't have peace. How often we still struggle. How often we go through the difficulties in life. And we struggle. We feel as though they're overwhelming us. But part of the problem is we haven't brought it before God in prayer. Pray about everything. David is committed to prayer. The circumstances of pain in Psalm 25, the commitment to prayer, and then thirdly and lastly, the confidence in God. Why would David come to God? The answer is because of who this God is. And with this we finish in looking at how God is described for us in Psalm 25. Verse 1. He is the Lord. This is the covenant God. This is the God who has graciously bowed down to earth to enter into relationship with men, women, and children. The God of promise. The God of steadfast, eternal promises. And he is the one that David turns to in prayer. This is the God who has promised to be a God to David and to his children after him. Because it's the God that, or it's the promise that was made to Abraham before. God will not break his promise. Look at verse 6 and 7. There's God's covenant love, his mercy, his loving kindnesses. That this is the chesed, that covenant, deep love of God for his people. That unending love for his people. This is what God the Father has towards us through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, there is a Father in heaven who is in relationship with you, his child, and he has promises set over you. He has promises kept for you. He will never break them. And he has for you mercy. He has for you love. That's why we come to him in prayer. Because through Jesus Christ, the God of promise will draw close and strengthen us in our painful circumstances. Look at verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. This word secret, it's the word counsel. Not just the wisdom that God gives, but the companionship that God gives. Another way to translate that word would be friendship. And verse 14 is speaking about the friendship of God the Father. The secret counsel of God. The secret wisdom and companionship of God. This friendship of God. is for you, his child, his promised one, the one he loves through Jesus Christ. Not only does God have promises for you, but in Christ and by his Spirit, he draws alongside us. And he's friends with us, giving us his companionship, giving us his wisdom, his love. And this God is our refuge, our protector. Verse 20. We can hide ourselves in him. He's strong and able. This is the God of salvation. We come to pray to the covenant Lord, the one who's in friendship with us, the one who watches over us, the one who cares for us and keeps us. Friends, in your painful circumstances, know that Jesus Christ has been through those. He knows everything. He took on flesh. His experiences are our experiences. And through him we bring them before God the Father in prayer. We lay them before the throne of grace and we say, Father, hear me, because you're the God of promise. Draw close and comfort me and strengthen me. And Lord, may you use these things, verse 22. May you use these things for the good of your church. Redeem Israel. The whole of Psalm 25 has been very personal, apart from the last verse. And from here, David's prayer moves out from his own personal perspective, out to the covenant people. Lord, redeem Israel. Use these things to strengthen your church. The 11th of May. Margaret Wilson was on a stake because she was taking a stand for Jesus Christ. The waters were drawing up towards her. She sang Psalm 25. Life's circumstances were not promised ease and comfort. Things will be hard. But praise God that we have a song like this that we can sing. A song that Christ sang. And we can lay every circumstance before God's throne of grace. And we can say, God of promise, hear me. God of promise, draw close to me. God of promise, through my Savior Jesus Christ, bless and show me your ways. Amen.